Media mogul Byron Allen says Comcast wouldn't carry his channels because he's black. His lawsuit against the Philly cable giant, which is now being heard in the U.S. Supreme Court, had protesters taking to the streets of Washington.
Black Lives Matter organizers marched from East Capitol Street to Supreme Court this morning. They're marching in support of Byron Allen. He is the media executive whose case against Comcast was heard before.
Civil rights advocates say this case could have some serious consequences, not just for Byron Allen, but for anyone looking to bring a civil rights claim in the future. Here's Rodney Muhammad, the head of the Philadelphia NAACP.
That is going to set up a battery of cases that will serve as a barricade for black people to really participate in the economic life of this country.
Why does this lawsuit carry that much weight? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Christian Hetrick covers Comcast for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Christian, this case all starts with a man named Byron Allen. Who is Byron Allen?
Byron Allen's an African-American comedian.
It's like, don't put on that dirty underwear. What if you get hit by a car? What is this? I get hit, go to the hospital. Doctor's like, oh boy, look at that underwear. Let him die.
Byron came up with David Letterman, Jay Leno, and then he later became sort of this media mogul, owns a TV production company called Entertainment Studios Networks, owns several channels, most notably the Weather Channel now. He's become sort of this well-known entertainment executive.
Okay, what are some other channels he owns?
One is Justice Central TV, which is sort of like a Judge Judy type shows. It's not Judge Judy, but it's sort of like these like in the courtroom type TV dramas.
I didn't see a sign.
What kind of promoter are you?
You're going to learn today.
Who knew court could be so much fun?
And you also have Pets TV, which is like a 24-hour news network dedicated to pet news, pet lifestyle, pet healthcare.
Who can resist puppies, kittens, and bunny rabbits? No one. But cute critters are big business in America and abroad.
So they seem to be a bit obscure, not certainly the most popular channels in the world right now.
For people who really like pets, though, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So where are these channels shown right now?
So you can get these channels if you are a certain Verizon Fios customer. DirecTV carries them, but Comcast does not.
But Allen did want them to be carried by Comcast, right?
That's right. Starting in 2008, he tried to get Comcast to carry his channels, years of back and forth, and ultimately they declined to carry his channels.
And why didn't they want to carry his channels?
So they say they have limited bandwidth, so they can't carry all the channels in the world. And so they made a business decision saying that his channels weren't popular enough to carry and be worth carrying for the cost of distributing them to their customers.
And what does Byron Allen think?
Byron Allen thinks that they are racially discriminated against him because these channels are among the few 100% African-American-owned channels. He files a lawsuit for $20 billion.
$20 billion.
$20 billion with a B in a federal court in California and says, yes, Comcast declined to carry my channels because they racially discriminated against me.
And what's the substance of his lawsuit? Like what racial discrimination is he referring to?
He says that a unnamed Comcast executive said, we're not trying to create any more Bob Johnsons.
And who is Bob Johnson?
It's apparently a reference to the founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television.
That who, I am familiar with.
Yes.
Let's go!
BET, what's up?
Turn up at the BETX main stage.
I hope everybody having a good time.
Who, sold BET for billions of dollars and became very successful as a result.
What are some other arguments Byron Allen makes in the lawsuit?
So he notes there's like roughly 500 channels that Comcast's major competitors carry. And of all of those, Comcast carries all those channels too, except for his channels. Mm. And he also notes that while Comcast told him that we have limited bandwidth, we can't carry yours, he says that they then carried or offered to carry channels that are lesser known and owned by white people.
They say things like, well, we don't do business with Byron because his networks have low, they're lowly rated. They have the low ratings.
That's Byron Allen speaking with TV host Roland Martin.
Well, listen, we could, in Discovery, we can show the world that they have over 100 networks on their platform that are white owned that have a lower rating than ours.
Okay, so because he's the only one who's being singled out, he thinks that this argument about demand for his channels is kind of bogus.
Exactly.
So what did happen with the lawsuit when it went forward?
So he had to amend it twice. The trial judge in California tossed it out twice, three times ultimately, actually. And then he appealed to the Ninth Circuit in California. And the Ninth Circuit basically revived the case. They said, you know, he has enough in his allegations for this case to proceed and go to discovery and collect evidence. Didn't rule on the actual merits of the case itself, but said there's enough here in these allegations for this case to go forward. As soon as the Ninth Circuit ruled on that, Comcast petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, and said, you know, the Ninth Circuit got it wrong. This case, you know, needs to be tossed out right away.
So let's go through this step by step. What exactly did Comcast think that the Ninth Circuit did wrong here?
So what the Ninth Circuit said was that Allen had alleged that race was a motivating factor in denying him, meaning that it wasn't necessarily the reason why they denied his contract, didn't carry his channels, but he had sufficiently alleged that race was a reason that Comcast decided not to do business with Byron Allen.
And we talked about some of those reasons, the comment from an unnamed executive,
right. The
fact that he was singled out among everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And so Comcast says, no, you have to allege that race was the reason for this case to proceed. You can't just say race was, among other reasons, legitimate, illegitimate. You have to claim that you were denied strictly because of race.
And to be clear, this is not to win the case. This is just to get your case past the discovery phase, like to go to trial.
This is to survive a motion to dismiss. One of the earliest stages of a lawsuit is what you allege in the first complaint that you file. This is about what you claim. This is before it goes to trial, before you collect evidence. This is right from the get-go.
Christian, at what point did we start to hear that this case could have kind of ripple effects that would affect other similar kinds of lawsuits?
So Byron Allen filed his lawsuit under an 1866 Reconstruction era civil rights law, one of the oldest civil rights laws in America, passed shortly after the Civil War. And what it basically says is that, all persons in the United States have the same right to enter business contracts as white citizens. And so that's the law that the Supreme Court is going to make a decision on. And so as soon as the Supreme Court said, we're going to take this case, you had a lot of civil rights groups say that, you know, a ruling here is going to have far-reaching ramifications for not just Byron Allen and Comcast, but anybody who files a racial discrimination lawsuit.
More on that when we come back. This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Inquirer reporter Christian Hetrick about media mogul Byron Allen's lawsuit against Comcast and the consequences it could have for civil rights claims in the future. Christian, last week, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the case. You went down to Washington for this. Tell me what it was like.
The Supreme Court's a very majestic building, Roman columns and red curtains, and gold trim and all of that. Very hushed, you know, like a library.
Yeah.
No cell phones or electronics inside. But it was tense at some moments. The judges seemed skeptical of Allen's legal position, specifically really two reasons why. One, you know, everyone seemed to agree that ultimately you have to prove that race was the reason if you're going to win at trial. And so some justices said, well, why would we have different standards at different moments in the case? Why can you allege just a motivating factor on the early stage if at the end you have to prove that race was the determinative reason that you were denied a contract?
So just to be clear on this, what Byron's lawyer was conceding was that ultimately to win at trial, he would have to clear that higher hurdle, that determining factor hurdle. But at that earlier stage, all he would have to say is that it was one motivating factor, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Allen's lawyer would contend that you can't have such a high threshold early on because this is before you collect evidence. This is right at the complaint stage. And it might be that the defendant, hypothetically Comcast or some other company, has emails, has evidence that does show that race was the reason why you were denied that business opportunity. But the victim or the person making the allegation might not have that evidence at the get-go. And so you can't have that higher threshold at the earliest stage of the lawsuit. It's just simply unfair, they would argue.
And so you said the justices were skeptical of this argument. What did they say?
They didn't understand, or they seemed to be confused as to why, if you have to prove that race was the reason at the very end of the case, why is it okay to just allege that race was among several other reasons at the earliest stage of the case? They also questioned the Ninth Circuit's decision on this, because the Ninth Circuit seemed to go even farther and say, you could also win at trial by just saying that race was among other reasons you were denied a contract. Mm. And so you had liberal justices like Justice Kagan saying that seemed wrong. And you had conservative justices like Neil Gorsuch also questioning the logic of the Ninth Circuit on that.
And what was Comcast's argument in this case?
Comcast's argument is that you have to allege at the beginning that race was the reason why you were denied a business opportunity, since, of course, that's what you're going to have to prove at the end. So that's what you should have to allege at the very beginning.
Byron Allen has been described as a media mogul. Seems like he's kind of well off. Could this Supreme Court ruling affect people who are less well off than Byron Allen?
Law professors would say it certainly could, because the Supreme Court is the law of the land. They will make a decision that will affect not just Byron Allen and Comcast, but regular people who want to file racial discrimination lawsuits. Take, for example, somebody who wants to get a hotel room. The hotel could say, we don't want to have black people in our rooms, but we also don't have any rooms available. So that's why you're not going to get a room today.
So it would be a motivating factor.
It would be a motivating factor. And, some would argue that under the position that Comcast is arguing, if they were to succeed, that would not be enough for a person to sue that hotel and not have that case dismissed, since there was two reasons. It was race, but it was also they were booked. They were not enough rooms.
So potentially those cases could get thrown out like at the very early stage, before anybody's able to really bring a case.
It could potentially set a higher threshold for everybody to file these racial discrimination lawsuits.
Christian, Comcast is a major media company. Millions and millions of people use Comcast services. They're in this position here of taking a stance on a civil rights law that, if it's upheld, a lot of people are going to have a problem with. So is there a potential PR fallout for Comcast here, do you think?
Certainly right now, having all these stories that they are, on this position of a civil rights law is certainly probably not good PR for them. They would argue, however, that the position they take isn't going to fundamentally change civil rights law, that they're just trying to have the law interpreted as it has been in the past, as it should be. So I think they would say that they're not, fundamentally, rewriting civil rights law, that they're just trying to get the law interpreted as it should.
But I guess the question is everybody else going to see it that way?
Yeah. This has probably not been a story that they want played out in the press. But, that's, I guess, what happens when you have a case before the Supreme Court.
Is there any indication how the justices might rule in this case?
It's hard to say. The justices did seem a bit more skeptical of Allen's position, but you can't read too much into what justices are doing. They could just be quizzing the lawyer and trying to suss something out. They could rule sort of in several different ways. They could say that not only do you only need a motivating factor to allege, but like the Ninth Circuit said, a motivating factor is enough to win at trial. But they could also say that, no, you need to say right from the get-go that race was the reason in your complaint, and that would be a higher threshold for everybody else to meet.
Christian, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Christian Hetrick covers Comcast for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Hit me up on Twitter @ShaiBenYaakov. See you tomorrow.